This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 68, Preparing a Portfolio, the Physical Kind. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 68th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about how to put together a physical portfolio so that we can show clients and agencies and galleries if we need to. And this topic comes courtesy of Acadie Libre from our photography forum. But before we get into this week's podcast, I'd like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 67, where we discussed the Orton technique. A lot of people really dug that podcast, and that makes me so happy. We got comments on the blog from Kat, Marsha, TJD, Kent Wilson, Ed Kriz, and Sid, as well as a bunch of other people that send me emails thanking me for the podcast. It's so my pleasure and glad people enjoyed it. As always, if you like these podcasts, the best way to get them is by subscribing for free by using any of the tabs on the front page of the blog, photography.ca/blog, and that way every time we put one out, you will get it automatically. Okay then, let's get right into today's topic. And it comes courtesy, as I mentioned, of Acadie Libre, and he writes, "How about one on a physical portfolio? I have one, but it is being redone and separating it into three distinct portfolios for each aspect of my photography and will all be done by next week, so it occurred to me, maybe mistakenly, it might be a decent podcast in the future. To have a good portfolio to take to clients is a must in my opinion. It just shows your work much better than an online portfolio does. I always thought having a physical portfolio along with an online one is important. People like what I have on my site. And when they see the actual photographs, it has a far greater impact. Maybe a podcast on making a basic portfolio that you can carry with you. Just a thought." So I think this is a really good topic, and it's my pleasure to do it. A physical portfolio is an amazing thing. In a few years, it might well be a thing of the past, because people are carrying all these electronic devices with them, and maybe they're going to use those to show their portfolios in the future. But for now, physical portfolios are still a really valuable resource. And my opinion on it is, and I've said this a few times before, there's something truly special about holding an actual print. It's different than looking at an image on a monitor. It just is. Prints have weight. Prints reproduce tones differently than a monitor. And it kind of brings you back to your darkroom days. I mean, lots of us printed black and white and color. I know I did. And when I created those prints, there was a sense of pride that I must admit exceeds the sense of pride that I have when I produce something just to show on a monitor. At the end of the day, a great image is still a great image, but there's something special about holding that image in your hand. These days we're all virtual and the physical is being lost, so I still love holding a beautiful print. I still love looking at a beautiful print. So before you create your portfolio, I think it's really important to decide who that portfolio is for. Is it for local clients that may hire you to do a job? Is it for an agency that might represent your work as a professional photographer? Is it for a gallery? You have to take all these things into account when making a portfolio, because making a portfolio takes quite a lot of work. A couple of notes right away is going to be tailor-make the portfolio for these specific types of people. You want it to be super relevant for work that that they're looking to exhibit, that they're looking to hire you for, that they're looking to represent you for. You really want to make it niche. And there's so many different genres of photography, and so many people are interested in different genres, but this is one case where you don't want to mix. You want the content of the portfolio to be highly, highly relevant to those people that are going to be looking at it. You don't want to do like a best of, some great prints from a few years back, a few great prints from these days, a couple of series of prints that really worked well together. You don't want to do that. Weed those out. Just use them for your own personal collections and, make what you're presenting a cohesive body of work that works together. In terms of the actual materials, you're going to want to print them all on the same paper. So don't mix papers. Try and have them all the same size if possible too. So if two of your prints are 8x10 and two of them are 11x14 or what have you, weed those out and make them all 11x14 or make them all 8x10. make them all work together so that it's visually appealing for the person looking at it to love it. Now, what paper do you want to use? That's really up to you. I mean, it should work with the subject matter, but it's totally up to you. There's a wide variety of papers these days, both conventional papers, if you're still doing darkroom work, or inkjet papers, etc. There's so much variety, you really have your choice. And if you want to use totally different papers for totally different portfolios, that's totally cool. Just make sure that the bodies of work you present all use the same type of paper. And here's another tip. You're going to want to make duplicates of everything you produce for your portfolio. Prints get damaged, prints get bent, prints suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous accidents, and you really want to print more than one. In terms of the paper you use, you're going to want to be using acid-free paper. And acid-free paper has chemicals removed that other papers have in it, and those chemicals tend to yellow your print over time. The edges will yellow, and they'll move inward in your print until slowly over time, the border of your print in particular will be yellow, and you may notice that it just doesn't look as good and hold up as well as an acid-free print. So you want to use acid-free papers, and most of them are, just make sure. Most acid-free papers come from wood. They're wood-based, but some of them also come from cotton rag, and those are good too. Just a triple check that these are acid-free papers, in fact, and you should be safe. In terms of the acid-free paper, you're going to want to store them in acid-free boxes. It makes no sense at all to take care of your prints, but not take care on how to store those prints. So if you're presenting prints to someone, an agency, a client, etc., you want to present it all in acid-free materials, in all safe materials. Things that are acid-free also go under the term sometimes archival, also go under the terms museum quality. So if you're seeing these terms, you can feel pretty safe. It's best to be 100% safe that the materials you're using are acid-free. Some people like to protect those prints with like a plastic sheeting or a plastic wrapping, and that's cool. It's almost like a little Ziploc. Just make sure that you don't use an actual Ziploc. You use something that, again, is going to hold its own over time. And cheaper protective plastic sheets are going to be made of PVC. You want to avoid PVC because over time, it can damage your photograph. So you want to make sure that everything that touches your photograph is not going to damage your photograph. So the box it's in, where it's being stored, if it's in a plastic wrap, make sure that all those materials are not going to damage your print in the long run. We put so much work and effort, particularly into portfolio prints. I know when I've done portfolio prints in the past, I mean, I've worked literally, you know, a full day, and maybe I got three or four or five prints that I'm truly happy with. These days, especially if you're printing with an inkjet printer or another printer, at the time you're printing, you know, everything is stable. Everything's the same. If you go back in a week or a month or a year, things might be slightly off. You might not be so happy. So while you're doing it, whip off a couple of extra copies, and that will protect you in case of accidents or in case you need additional copies. Even though we talked about presenting to galleries in a previous podcast, again, if you're showing it to a gallery, they're going to want to most likely see loose prints. Again, you want to have these prints the best possible quality. You know, not work prints, the best prints, final prints. But you want them to be loose. You don't want them to be matted, because often these people are going to want to see the print and touch the print. And if they're matted, that's more difficult. If it's a gallery, you should include a pair of cotton gloves. Yes, cotton gloves, so that the people in that gallery can handle your prints. If you're showing it to an agency or a potential client, the cotton gloves might be overboard, especially if you're not there to hold the prints for them. You may just leave your portfolio there. So in that case, maybe loose prints are not a great idea. You may want to have them in a portfolio book. Again, make sure that portfolio book is archival. And typically, you know, it's in plastified pages, and you can flip the pages and look at the print. Many people are going to take that print out of the casing. They just will, especially if you're not there. They may look at it in different light. They want to feel the weight of the paper. So again, in this case, it's why I recommended making copies, because you want them to have the best possible print, but you know they're going to touch the sucker. You just do. So you want to be prepared for that, and you have to know that the oils from their hands over time, if enough people touch them, are going to affect the photo. The edge will yellow somewhat. It may stain somewhat. So You just have to be aware of that. Your best portfolio, only leave with the best people with cotton gloves, and make sure you know that they know what the standard is for holding prints so as not to damage them. But again, if you're going to leave them somewhere, use your best prints, but be aware that they're going to suffer some minor damage. It's just all part of it. It's part of what you got to go through. I actually took the liberty of calling Natalie from the Stephen Bulger Gallery in Toronto, and she gave an interesting tip as well, which is to add some supportive material. So you're going to want to add your bio, you're going to want to add some press clips, and you're going to want to have these things in a nice package. Again, presentation is just so important, and if everything looks beautiful and is professionally presented, well, then that's how people are going to regard you. Just give people one little excuse to think you're an amateur, to think you're a rookie, or to think you don't have any experience, and they'll find it. You know, a lack of presentation skills, unfortunately, I know it's all surface stuff, but a lack of presentation skills is going to give that impression, and you always want to give the best impression. And that's pretty much most of what I got for preparing that portfolio. Of course, if you want that portfolio to endure over time, you're going to want to store it properly, and you need to know that humidity, temperature, light, these are all enemies of prints. Humidity causes prints to curl and change shape. The temperature, if it's too warm, that can also damage the prints. And leaving your prints out so that the light can eat them, that's also a big no-no. So you're going to want to store them in archival boxes, in not too humid conditions, under a fairly constant temperature, and that's going to let your prints last for likely hundreds and hundreds of years. If you are interested in presenting to galleries in particular, I recommend that you check out our podcast number 53, where we talked about presenting to galleries exclusively. So you may get some good info from that one as well if you haven't already listened to it. Before we go, I'd like to remind people that there's a few days left in our assignment forum to do this month's assignment, which is shooting from a low angle. We already have some incredibly cool and creative submissions, so if you want to get your creative juices flowing in a hurry, take a quick pic from a low angle. The link to go in the show notes. You can see some examples and submit your own interpretation on the theme. If you have any comments or suggestions, or you think I left something out, please, as always, contact me in any one of the various ways, photography.ca@gmail.com. You can post a comment directly in the blog, photography.ca/blog, or you can just add a note in the forum as well. You can become a member of our forum if you're not already a member. It's free, it's fun, and it's quite a creative community, so I do recommend you do that. Favorite way is just comment in the blog, but all the ways are appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's so beautiful. Summer is in so many places now, and it's such a great time to get out there. So there's just no excuses. Find a beautiful subject, shoot it in a weird way, shoot it in some weird light. But as always, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.